Following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Speaking. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Galvin sitting across from me in dead silence. And I have Charlie Saladino sitting next to us.
How you doing?
Who's not in dead silence, I think.
Good for Charlie.
For those of you having any trouble listening to us...
No one has trouble listening
to us. Oh, I almost forgot. He hasn't been here so long, I completely forgot. Our empty chair is hosted by Herman Sinertia.
The ghost of Herman Sinertia.
Yes, the hologram of 3D. It has little knobs on.
I know, I'm just...
All right. So, anybody's having trouble listening on the air, even though they might not want to admit it, they can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com, listen to us on live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see it's in high definition on the webcam, which is taking us in awesome
right
high definition
ID.
Soon. Yeah, soon we'll be in 3D. And then eventually we're going to be in 4D, maybe. We'll have Smell-O-Vision. We'll hand out cards to all our listeners, and they have to scratch and sniff. Well, I'm getting no response out of this on today.
I'm not paying attention.
Oh, I'm just rambling.
I'm someplace else.
Okay, then. So you're with Herman, then?
Yes. I'm all talking right to Herman right now.
Oh, really?
He's saying to step up the show.
And the phone number here is area code
61-888-8811.
888-8811.
Exactly.
So let me just take it away with
the news. Take it away with the news, Mark.
No, take it away with the news.
So, this time last year, we were talking about the great New York Comic Con that's coming up in a couple weeks.
Yay.
And last year, we gave away passes.
Last year, we talked about the great Comic Con that was coming up last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Year.
And this year, we're doing the same thing. So to celebrate the anniversary of that, we're doing the same thing this year.
Yay, consistency.
We're going to be giving away free 2-day passes to the New York Comic Con, courtesy of the guys, Lance Messman, thank you very much, and the guys at New York Comic Con.
Which means we'll be giving away 2 passes for the next 3 shows.
For the next three shows. This week, next week, and the week after, and then the following week, we'll just be talking about the New York Comic Con, which has Mark Hamill. Mark freaking Hamill is going to be there. Jason Momoa.
Who's that?
Doesn't
who's
look Mark like Mark Hamill? Hamill anymore.
Who's Mark Hamill?
Hamill? No, he was this guy who was in this movie called Corvette Summer. It was one of the most awesomest movies I've ever seen.
It's the same guy from The Big Red One.
Yeah.
I think he was in the Waltons. That guy's awesome. Doesn't he do the voice of the Joker?
He does. The voice of the Joker.
All right.
And he was also the Trickster in the Flash TV series.
The Trickster in the Flash TV series. I know who that is. He was in The Guyver.
Yes,
he was in the movie The Guyver.
He grew a mustache for that role.
Yeah, he turned into a roach.
He did.
Turned into a giant roach.
Do you remember any of these movie references, Charlie?
Wasn't he in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
He was, and in the movie it said, hey kids, it's Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill. All right. I know who this guy is now.
Yeah, so, you know, it's going to be him. And Conan the Barbarian will be there. Jason Momoa.
Momoa.
And let me see who else is going to be there.
Goodness.
Jay and Silent Bob is going to be there. So, hooray, even though Hassan has some reservations.
I have no reservations for that.
I get the look of reservation.
Not publicly.
Oh. That was not intended to be a factual statement.
That was a politically incorrect statement I made in the media world.
What we're going to be doing, as we normally like to do on the show, we're going to have easiest contest.
The world's easiest contest. What is the world's easiest contest?
Get ready with your fingers, folks.
All you have to do is call us.
Call us.
First person.
Call us.
First call us.
Call the station, not us personally, not individually.
888-888.
If my cell phone rings, you don't win nothing.
Yes, you have to call.
All you don't win squat. People who win radio contests, call.
Yeah, yes. you radio contest
winners.
So
we'll take the very first person to call.
The first person.
Yeah, look at that. We're not even picky. We'll take the first one.
No, the first guy.
Even if it's the wrong number, we'll still give it to you.
Hey, can I get a pizza?
We're not even giving any questions.
No, you can't have a piece of sir, but you can have two tickets to the New York Comic Con.
New York Comic Con.
Well, actually, the question would be, can you dial the number correctly? And by doing so, the answer would be yes.
The question is, what's the number to
right now?
What's the number to our studio? If you get that correct.
Exactly. If you get that. What are you using to talk to us right now?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm using
call.
I'm using a satellite uplink with the two by
darling,
in concentric circles that go around the circumference of the sun.
Imagine.
Is that a phone? No.
No.
Then you lose.
Yes,
we got
you
a flash.
Get no tickets.
We got a flash.
So you will get the big flash. Nothing, sir.
Trevor will fill that out for us. And Trevor's taking care of that right now. So let's see. Moving on with more news. I get the look of...
Because I don't know what's going on. You got to tell us what's going on in the news.
Let's see.
We got one.
Speak.
Oh, we have
one.
We
have a winner.
All right, you want to write that, get the name and information for us?
Marianne. So Marianne. Nice name.
Hooray for Marianne.
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 We need your information.
Marianne finds out now that this entire thing was a scam and there are no tickets.
Get your information.
So,
Marianne,
it's
not coming through to the studio. We don't.
No. I'm going to send you the information on how to pick up the tickets. I was given the secret information that can only be given away to six people.
Well, congratulations, Marianne.
Yeah.
There you go, and you got two tickets to Comic-Con, which is one of the biggest events in the science fiction comic animation.
It's the second biggest comic book convention in the entire United States.
Come on, they were nice enough to give it to us. They're the biggest.
No, the reshowing of The Big Lebowski at the $5 movie theater, that is the biggest show in the city.
All right.
I can't wait to see that.
We got a winner quick this time.
Yeah, hooray.
Greedy.
Yeah,
people.
Way to go, Mary.
I want.
And then they're going to hang up, and then they're not going to listen to the rest of the show.
What's up, Chuck?
Oh, yeah, we can put her on. I didn't know she was still waiting.
Oh, yeah, put her on.
This is it.
Hello, Marianne.
Yes,
Marianne? Hello, yes. Marianne? Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
There you go.
We didn't
know you were waiting on the phone.
Yeah.
See, we wouldn't have wasted like 5 minutes of your time if we knew you were waiting on the phone.
I was listening to you guys going on and on.
Congratulations.
Yes. Who are you interested in going to see at the convention?
Who am I interested in seeing? Mark Hamill, definitely.
Oh, there you go.
Who
is this guy, Mark Hamill? Why does everybody want to see
him? Stephen Lang's going to be there.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Stephen Lang from Avatar.
That guy's scary. And Conan.
And Conan. Look at that.
Conan.
It's a big Conan weekend.
So let me ask you something there. You usually win these radio contests because you were like the first quick caller.
Are you a professional radio show winner?
Actually, I was going to call even sooner, but I wasn't sure if it was time to call in. I figured I'd give it a shot.
Wow.
There you go.
Well, you know why you won because...
People who read the Facebook page.
You know why you won? Because you remembered the number of the studio.
Yes, nicely
that was
done.
That's how hard we run these contests. That's the hard questions. But, so that's great, and... just what does she have to do? Stay on the line?
Yeah, stay on the line. Our station engineer, Trevor, will get all the information, and we will forward that to the Comic-Con people, and you just go pick it up on the day of convention, which is the 13th.
That's really cool. I'm all excited.
13th, oh, good.
14th,
yeah,
15th
it's
of October.
Yeah, it's definitely a place to see. It's amazing.
Are you going to dress up in costume?
I don't think so. I'll save that for Halloween.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
Smart girl.
Well, thank you, Marianne, for winning, and Trevor will get your information.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you, Mia.
And Hassan. She wanted to say thank you, Mark.
No, he didn't.
So, Speaking of the convention.
Speaking of the convention.
I'm going to be, I came from radio, is part of the sponsorship program that's going to be for the Indie After Party.
That party last year, man. That was...
They had a band and was, it was
that
awesome.
Was astounding.
When was the party?
It was Saturday night of the convention. It was so...
Didn't you get into a car accident last year?
We got hit by a cab. Yeah,
just
we got
like Mark Hamill.
Yeah, so we actually, it's going to be the Indie After Party, which will be giving out the little flyers.
I don't remember the party.
You don't remember the cab. That's how much of a good time you had.
I had such a great time. I remember getting hit by a cab.
So it's going to be the October 14th, I believe, which will be that Saturday.
Wow, this party is fun.
You get hit by a cab in the middle of the bar. I got hit by a cab.
Yeah, what fun is that? Fun to be had all over.
Yeah, it's a good time to be had by all.
We will be hosting. We will be partially sponsoring that program.
Are we?
Are we partially sponsoring?
We don't have to bring drinks and sodas and stuff like that for people, right?
We just have to show up.
The chips and the dip.
Oh, right.
We get sponsored. We're sponsored. We get recognized.
Nice.
Right, excellent. For us.
And where is that party?
As long as we don't have to cater.
It's going to be at Blaggard's on 45th and 7th, I believe, in Manhattan.
Ah,
so
okay.
Nice little bar that they always have the Indie After Party there, so we'll be
cool.
Nice.
So
I'll try to make it this time.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if you did.
Yeah.
You're bringing the drinks, so you better
make it. I got the chips and the dip.
I'll bring the ice.
Okay. You do that.
So speaking,
just leave it in your trunk all day until.
Oh yeah, and it'll be just a bag of water.
Yeah.
I could use it to beat any other cab drivers that come my way. Shaka your water. So anyway,
Mr. Segway.
All right. For those of you who like independent comics, there is no greater independent comic than Red Arrow, War of the Independents.
Why do we keep doing this?
Because I don't want to be a part of this. Six-issue crossover
series. I protest being a part of this.
Features such great characters as Ant, the Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby, and Pokey.
Oh,
and yes,
my God.
And who else, Mark?
Will be involved in the crossover. So hooray for me and the independent guys that I work with. So,
hooray you and the independent guys that you work with.
Yeah, hooray.
Yay. Move on.
So it'll be coming out in October, and it will be available at the New York Comic Con.
Really?
Yes.
Imagine that. A comic book available at the Comic Con.
What will they think of next?
I wouldn't have thought that. That's marketing genius right there, Mark. Yes.
Well, I'm getting there early so I could get my copy of Gumby and
Pokey. Get there early, so you can get online with the other 200,000 people to find that one book.
Or if you win free tickets, you know.
You can get online with the other 200,000 people with your free tickets.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of Gumby.
Mr. Segway.
A man dressed as Gumby, along with an assistant, tried to rob a 7-Eleven last week.
Did he get shot?
Please tell me they didn't shoot the Gumby guy.
They couldn't get him. They couldn't get Gumby.
Did the blockhead police come and shoot Gumby?
No, there was nobody got shot. He tried to rob a 7-Eleven.
Did he tell the guy that if you have a heart, Gumby's a part of you?
Did he tell him that? Did he say...
That's part of the song.
Stick it up. Stick him up. I'm Gumby, damn it.
I'm Gumby, damn it. I was Eddie Murphy. Yeah. Did he get away on an orange horse?
Suspect was riding away on an orange clay horse.
Come on!
No, unfortunately...
Pokey, he got away with Pokey.
Unfortunately, security cameras caught the entire event, and they show this man in the Gumby outfit. Did they catch Gumby? No, he got away.
You know why? Because he was dressed like Gumby. Who's going to find him after that?
Because he picked up his one leg and flew
away. I'm doing that right after
the
show. I'm going to rob someplace dressed like Gumby. I got a Gumby costume in the trunk.
Well,
they'd be ready for me because someone did it already. Yeah.
He did get away, but...
It was me.
A few days later, he turned himself in.
He turned himself
to
in?
To San Diego police.
First of all...
Because it was the perfect crime. He was happy that he had committed the perfect crime.
Could you imagine the guy on the street when the cops came? Hey, did you see anybody suspicious running by you?
No.
There was two gentlemen, Gumby, another guy, and...
A plastic horse.
Yeah. And then an orange thing.
But I was... If you're down in Union Square, where I am every day, you probably wouldn't tell the officer you saw anything.
This is New York. What are you, crazy?
I saw a big turtle in a trench coat.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
I'm going to get a slice of pizza.
I'm on my lunch break.
What do you want me to do? He wasn't bothering me. I wasn't bothering him. You know, what am I going to do?
He had a big bag of donuts with him.
So he turned himself in, claiming that he didn't actually try to rob the place. It was just blown out of proportion by the clerk, the store clerk.
Really? The gun?
Really?
When store clerks see guns, they tend to blow things out of proportion.
Oh, I thought you...
Wait, how did he rob the place without a gun?
He tried to rob the place. He unsuccessfully tried to rob the place, and then he dropped money, and then he ran away.
So he didn't even commit the crime.
He
was an attempted robbery.
Attempted robbery.
He could have stayed.
He tried to rob.
It's like he acts like he blew the place up, killed a whole bunch of orphans. What's he got a guilty conscience for?
Well, I don't know.
He put on the pokey costume now and try again at the same place. That's what I would have done.
And we'll know it's for sure this time.
Yeah, he showed up dressed like Neo. And I would have floated in and never mind. It wouldn't have worked out.
Okay.
It wouldn't have worked out.
Most wanted, Gumby.
Did he have the? Was the head flat? Was it the?
Yeah, he had the full on Gumby outfit. You can actually see it on our Facebook page.
Fantastic.
We have a link to the video.
That is so fantastic!
Wow.
So speaking of fantasy becoming reality,
Mr. Segway.
Okay. Nothing. All right. A planet.
I got nothing.
With two suns, much like that in Star Wars.
Star Wars. What's that?
Has now been confirmed to actually exist for the very first time by astronomers. Scientists using a space telescope, hopefully, capture details of a giant planet in orbit around a pair of binary stars, which make up the Kepler-16 system, which is about 200 light years away.
Well, it'd be really hot there.
You see, what I would have said if I wrote that article is, when scientists looked into the telescope, you know, rather than scientists using a telescope, of course they're using a telescope. Scientists looking with their naked eyes. Hey, look at that.
Just saw scientists watching Spike TV during Thanksgiving.
Scientists using a space telescope.
Watching their Star Wars DVD, saw a planet with two suns on it.
Or they were watching Star Wars. Like,
or even while viewing space in their telescopes, while using a space telescope, they saw space.
If you put it like that. All right. Scientists say this discovery is stunning.
All of them say it?
All
scientists.
All of them united.
This is not specific individuals. It's scientists.
Yes. It's 4 out of 5 scientists say.
It's stunning. I'm glad we were using that telescope.
This discovery is stunning. Once again, what used to be science fiction has turned into reality. Again and again, we see that the science is stranger and cooler than fiction.
Wait, now hold it. They were all saying this together. They said this in perfect unison.
They got together before they lined up across America.
They all said. Yeah.
They were like, listen.
That must have sounded creepy.
We're going to be on the same page on this one, guys. When they come in, this is what
And they all saying. Actually handed them the same page. It's like, make sure you're on this page.
The more interesting thing about that, about the story is not the story itself, but is Mark telling the story. As I'm hoping everyone on our High D friends has seen Mark with his, just dramatic.
I don't know why
movement.
He's wearing his coat. Because it's pretty toasty in
that's,
here.
That's the only thing you didn't.
It was toasty.
That's the only thing you
why
didn't
add
in.
Why is that coat on?
I thought he was going to take it. He's not
you don't know Mark. If you, now he is.
Now
you know why? Because we told him he wasn't.
This is
so now it's defiant.
No, it's,
yeah.
It's,
we got,
it's,
I
done,
gotta,
it's done in a certain way.
I got to play Lotto tomorrow. Something, you know.
No, if he takes the hat off, you got to play Lotto.
That
hat's not coming off.
Not going to happen.
All right, Mark, go ahead with the news.
Speaking of movies turning into reality. All righty. Where is it? Disney has now obtained exclusive global theme park rights to the movie Avatar. So in effort to counteract the Harry Potter... What? So it's an effort to counteract the Harry Potter world.
What do you want me to finish talking what you're
world
saying?
Of Wizardly Harry Potter from Universal Studios, Disney has decided to get an Avatar planned, which will be... Avatar theme park. It would be provide the foundation.
Are they going to be hanging mountains?
I don't know.
They're going to if they don't do the hanging mountains, it's not worth going.
That would be interesting.
It's not worth it.
But what if it collapses?
Not worth it.
And that's a lawsuit
waiting
to happen.
No. That's the risk you take. That's what you go to Disney for.
For a lawsuit?
Yeah. You got a hanging mountain. Listen, the whole reason Hanging Mountain is exciting is because it might fall on you. That's why it's exciting.
Really?
Yeah. It's go there and go, ooh, Hanging Mountain. Ooh, right. I'll look at that all day. I'm like, when's that going to fall?
And the other reason it's exciting is because it is hanging, which thus brings you to your
reason.
No,
it's going to fall. It's going to fall. That's what makes it exciting.
Okay. All right.
I hang out right under it with a little lawn chair and a vitamin water.
Fox Studios, James Cameron, will receive a licensing fee.
When are you going to learn just to keep reading?
And a percentage of related
merchandise. Yeah, don't listen to us.
They're going to receive a percentage of related merchandise.
This is going to be another thing I'm never going to see.
However, they will not get any money off of the ticket sales.
Oh.
In regards to the overall look and design, James Cameron says, whatever makes sense to bringing this world to life and allow people to wander into it.
So he didn't say anything.
The scenes from the movie are that people like the best were not the obvious things like the big battle scenes. Ugh. It was the creatures. It was learning to fly. It was being in the forest at night. So, yeah.
Last thing I saw at Disney was Captain EO. So I'm probably not going to see that. I'm not going to see the Harry Potter thing, and I'm not going to see this. So whatever. Keep moving on. Keep it moving.
All right. Well, construction on Avatar-themed rides, shops, and restaurants will begin in 2013.
And will not be finished until sometime after you die.
And will not be finished for 3 or 4 years after that. So I'm looking like 2017.
Yeah, 2017.
It's going to be done. So
2017.
What?
The world's going to be on fire by then.
Well, then you will have flying mountains over the...
No, they're falling. Falling mountains.
Oh, okay. Okay, falling mountains.
You have to be on one of those to get away from the fire.
So speaking of a long time ago,
Mr. Segway,
a long time ago,
to celebrate the 30th anniversary release of E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Why?
no, just E.T. There's no why.
Why are we celebrating E.T.? Didn't Spielberg ruin it already by taking the guns out of everybody's hands?
This is what the news item is about. Steven Spielberg says that he will change back the walkie-talkies to guns that he had digitally inserted for the 20th anniversary of the film. He says, for myself, I
gotta find some way to make money off of this, Berg, and I'm gonna do it this way.
Well, put the guns back. People will buy it like crazy, thinking I'm gonna take the guns out again.
The Tea Party version. You call it the Tea Party edition. Guns and kids. Kids on bikes and guns.
He says, for myself, I changed the film once and lived to regret it. Not because of fan outrage, but because I was so disappointed in myself.
Because of fan outrage. Don't give me that BS.
I'm overly sensitive to some of the reaction to E.T. originally, and I thought if technology involved, I might go in and change some things. It was okay for a while, but I realized what I have done was I had robbed people who loved E.T. of their memories. And if just one cut of E.T. on Blu-ray could be the one that was released in 1982, would anyone object to this? So be it.
Do you think he read that as dramatically as you did? Did he use hand gestures and stuff
yes,
like that and dramatic pauses?
Did.
All right, just checking.
Yes.
And the Oscar goes to Steven Spielberg for apologizing about making a marketing decision to make more money from the search for more money.
Shia and Megan were in the audience going, damn!
He's going to insert Shia LaBeouf in there where Elliot was. That's going to be...
It's going to be a CGI Shia.
It's not even going to be Shia LaBeouf. It's going to
be a CGI face.
And the winner of the best apologies.
You know what? When I was a kid, the thing that scared me the most about E.T., other than the fact that I was watching it, and my grandmother, who I was watching it with, who was mad at me because I had done something stupid earlier that day.
That's why you were watching it.
She threatened me at the end of the, you know, when we get home, you're going to get it. So, you know, that movie was like kind of like, you know, the last meal before my execution. The scene where the astronauts... They were dressed basically like astronauts, came into the house and started chasing them around and didn't have any faces, and they just came in with their arms up. That was more terrifying than some Secret Service guys with machine guns. I never sat there going, oh, they're going to shoot Elliot. This movie stinks. I was more like, who are those creepy guys and with no faces? They're just walking around in these big puffy suits. And that was, Spielberg should have taken them out and put, like, clowns in. That would have made it more, well, you know,
giant spiders with clowns makeup.
I'm the only one with that phobia, all right, but everybody else, that was more scary.
Killer clowns from outer space dancing.
No, not the killer clowns. No, I'm trying to make an important editorial here, and you stepped all over.
You know what's more amazing than that?
No, no clue what's more amazing than that.
I am going to tell you.
Explain to me what's more amazing than that.
Shortly after this show started, a beautiful young lady walked in here, and she is still here.
Yeah, and she didn't leave.
Yeah, she's still here.
Left.
I seeing a beautiful young lady in the corner, or is it?
No, that's the ghost. It's completely a figment of your imagination.
There she is.
I look over, I don't see her. She's not here.
The memory I had of E.T., I only have one memory of E.T.
All right, just checking with you guys.
No, she's
I'm
here.
I'm seeing someone.
I see her. I'm waiting for her to get up and storm out. I won't think she's real until she walks out.
Okay. My memory of E.T. is one memory. When everybody thought E.T. was going to die, and there was not a dry eye in the movie theater except for one, which was me. I was like, he ain't going to die. He'll be fine. And I was like, hey,
the movie's named after him. You ruined it. See, there you go again, ruining it for everybody, Mark.
Yeah, for all those people who haven't seen it.
Well, could be worse. You could have Herman and you go, he's not going to die!
Yelling it out, running up and down the aisles, saying, he's not dead. All right.
I wonder if he ever got to phone home.
Who, Herman? Herman doesn't phone home ever. Oh,
he doesn't phone in.
He went home. He did phone home.
Maybe he got lost.
They came
the way
to get him.
Well, in reality, he cell phoned home.
The thing
he
is,
put the satellite up there.
Yeah, he did. He did cell phone with a speaking spell. The thing, the trick about it is, E.T. was an abandoned child. They just left him on Elliot's doorstep.
Yeah.
Because if you watch the movie again, they just kind of looked out. Like, is he around? I don't see him. I was all right. Take off.
Drop him here.
It's like Home Alone.
Yeah.
Drop him here.
But you don't see the moment in the film where Catherine O'Hara goes, just left my son.
Kevin, E.T.
Let me ask you something.
I don't think his name is E.T.
And anybody could call in, and anybody out there can call in and let me know if I'm
on your last name is T
on the right track. But let me ask you something about this movie. Weren't they supposed to make a sequel where Elliot goes to that planet, his planet?
As far as
I never heard that.
Yeah, I've never heard that.
No.
That
all right,
mean
never
it
mind.
Didn't
carry on.
Who told you that, Herman?
No.
Herman went to his planet, I think.
That's it.
He's there right now.
Yeah, that's what,
although
that's what his problem is.
You go, yeah.
I'll give you a ride, no problem. So speaking of really old movies.
A segue.
Really old movies.
After almost years.
It
was deleted. After almost 20 years. The Lion King tops the box office again, pulling in a surprising $29.3 million this past weekend.
When did it come out?
It came out in 1994.
No, when did it come out this weekend?
Oh, Thursday. Past week ago.
They put it back in movies?
Yeah, they pulled out the 3D.
You know what?
No,
when you don't work in the movie industry anymore, you just don't know these things.
This is a no-follow-up question.
Search for more money.
Why can't I follow up the question?
No follow-up question news.
I just had an extra question.
The Lion King was re-released.
Thank you.
In 3D.
You start with that information.
And because of which, after almost 20 years,
it
raised a surprising $29.3 million.
Now I know what's going on. Well, because Disney, 20 years ago, the kids who were kids are adults, and they said, hey, you should go see this. Are
you reading my news?
No, but I figured that out. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what's happening.
This is Christmas all over again. Disney
Fair
expected
enough.
The movie to make only between 10 and 12 million, so they are ecstatic about the
We should make a
money.
Sequel.
Mm. They are,
with CGI,
they
live action
sequel.
Lions.
They did make a sequel.
Well, we should put the sequel out again.
In 3D, yeah.
Yeah, in 3D. With live action Lions.
The executives are now saying, we are taking a page from the movie. There is a circle of life thing happening. You have children of the 90s who are now parents of the 2010s, and they themselves are taking their kids to share what was for them a great experience.
Yeah, it wasn't a leap.
Two decades ago.
This guy's a genius. Kids, he said that.
For kids, this is like a dream come true.
You know,
and for parents, they're able to revisit The Lion King, especially now in 3D. Just tells you the power this movie has and how strong it resonates with people.
My kid would be SOL because I wouldn't need to relive any of that stuff.
He's very thespian tonight.
I know. He's doing
like
a lot of hand gestures and stuff.
Citizen Kane
over
here.
We're in HD. You know, I got to...
Nobody... It's radio, not television.
Yes.
Not now. We got high def.
High this.
All right. So, moving on.
As God is my witness.
Moving along.
Move on, Mark. Who died?
Well...
Who kicked it? I'm sorry.
Wow. Nicolas Cage. Nicolas Cage did not die. Well, Nicolas Cage,
Nicolas Cage
was
dead.
Out promoting his new movie, Trespass. He was quoted as saying that this movie
trespassed
its home.
Tried to promote his movie
because it was actually because he was actually involved in a real life home invasion. Nicolas Cage
invaded someone's home.
No, he was quoted
so
as saying
Rip Taylor invaded the Torn invaded the
bank. Yeah, remember that one. He was quoted as saying it was 2 a.m. I was living in Orange County at the time.
Well, that's his problem.
And was asleep with my wife and my 2-year-old was in another room. I opened my eyes, and there was a naked man wearing my leather jacket, eating a fudgicle in front of my bed.
Oh,
that dream again.
Wow. You know what would happen if I was Nicolas Cage that night? The news headlines would have been police arrest Nicolas Cage for slaughtering a human being. He would have gone out the window, and that would have been the beginning. I would have gone out and danced all over his naked ass, and in wearing my jacket.
Wow. And then it would have
I would have said, you can keep the jacket, yeah. I'm burying you in it.
Yeah, and then the little side thing, fudgesicle in critical condition.
Yeah. Fudgesicle recovered.
But anyway, I have an interesting story a couple of weeks ago.
Wait a minute, how come that wasn't in the news? I've never heard that. I never heard that story.
Maybe he wasn't famous at the time.
I saw that the other day.
Then it happened the other day?
It happened a while ago. But yeah, he mentioned it now.
But there was an interesting thing that happened a couple of weeks ago. There was somebody tweeted. Yeah, that...
He said it right the first time. It was a twit who tweeted.
It was
tweeted.
Okay. He tweeted it.
That, who is the guy? I know him, but I got brain locked now.
How do we know him? If you know him, you don't know him.
Oh,
is it from that guy who did that thing? Is it Mark Hamill?
Yeah. It's Mark Hamill. It's the guy who did that other thing.
It's Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill, Gumby, and the guy with the fudgicle all teamed up.
Who played Melissa Lano's father.
Tony Danza. Tony Danza.
Thank you.
Hey.
Tony Danza.
Hey, well done.
On Twitter, they said that he was skiing, and he was in a skiing accident, and he passed away. He died.
No way.
And they just, people did that for an awful goof, but people believed that Tony Danza was dead for a couple of days.
Really?
This was a couple of weeks ago. Same time Nicolas Cage thing happened.
It overshadowed the whole Nicolas Cage thing.
So Tony Danza dies.
I was ready to come here and do the big,
weeping
tribute to Tony Danza.
Well, you had a tribute to Tony Danza?
Oh, I did, an Italian thing.
Yeah. Oh, all right. I guess you're going to whip that card out on
me. He's going to sing the song.
Fair enough.
What's
the matter? I can't have a tribute to an Italian guy?
No, it's fine.
Tony Danza is
But anyway,
ready
Tony Danza lives.
Great.
What? Two of you were talking over each other all night. What's going on? What are you doing? Let him finish. He's talking about Tony Danza. He's giving a tribute to Tony Danza.
He was talking to Herman a lot this week. That's why.
Yeah.
Do you have sad news first?
Yes.
Who died? Who died? Who kicked it? Who kicked it?
Not Tony Danza.
Not Tony Danza.
Not Tony Danza, nor William Daniels. Tom Wilson, the creator of the comic strip Ziggy, has died in his sleep last Friday at the age of 80. The comic strip, he worked on the strip between 1971 and 1987, and the strip was continued and still is being continued by his son, Tom Wilson Jr. So that's sad news.
Well, I have some sad news.
Oh, from the desk of Charlie Saladino?
Yeah. Do you know...
Do you really get desks? Because I didn't get my desk.
You don't get that.
This is my desk.
All right, I got you.
This is his desk.
you get a pole.
I get a pole? Yeah. I get like a...
Alan King had a comedy routine one time, and he would say, no matter how old a man gets, he's always survived by his wife. Because every time he reads the obituary, it's like survived by his wife. The 180-year-old man was survived by his wife.
That's what happens to you when you marry. You get
case, Bob Hope, who was 100, was... when he passed away, was survived by his wife, Dolores, who just recently passed away. She was 102. And Dolores
beat him. Wow.
Yeah, and Dolores passed away.
And she got that letter from the president.
I didn't know that Bob Hope was A, dead, and B, that he died at 100.
He died at 100.
I did not know that.
Hassan learned something today, and they say you learn something new every day.
Dolores died at 102.
That's more.
He was survived by his wife, and they both got the letters.
Yeah, the letters from the president, though.
Yeah,
the president. He got it from what, Nixon?
But Dolores had a little more time to enjoy her.
Enjoy her letter.
She had a whole year to read it over and over and over.
No, 2 years.
Yeah. But what if you're off the grid when you turn 100? You get a letter from the president if nobody knows who the heck you are?
I would hope so.
How does the president know that you're 100? How does the president know that Myrtle Faversham is 100 years old? Yeah,
Mr. Faversham.
Yeah, who's living in Ronkonkoma. How does he know? How does he have any clue?
Because there's this little guy named Morty that he pays a lot of money to, and he just keeps these stats going.
Or it might be the weather announcer,
Morty Felden.
The weather announcer. He says your names on the Today Show. He's a beloved anchor man, white guy, large. Always says happy birthday to all the old people on the TV in New York. It's very famous. Oh my God. All right, so I'm going to think of that guy's name, and we're going to take a break. We're
ready for a break,
Trevor. Not right back when we came from the
radio. Break something over my head.
Oh, we're still on. I didn't mean that.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Was hot. Now back to our show.
What's up, Mark?
I'm back with a game from the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking along with us.
Are
on
you
Godwin.
The host? Is
and
that is
Charlie
that you?
Saladino in
is
the studio.
Charlie Saladino on this?
And
show?
I'm in the studio, damn it.
and the ghost is also
of
in Herman the studio.
Charlie.
Or our real ghost,
fake
Charlie.
Image of whatever.
Of Herman Snurchy. We should put a little picture right.
We should get a standee.
Then I'll talk. I'll do his voice, and we'll shake it, and it'll look like he's talking to the HD people.
That would be quite interesting to see.
No, it wouldn't. Don't lie. It would not. So, what are we talking about tonight, Mark?
Well, this week, as we know, we have the September is now amongst us, and during the time. That's the chair.
During this time. Are you sure?
During this time, we have new shows coming in and new movie
and
season
new
coming
shows
in,
going out.
And new shows going out. And I remember last year we were talking about the first show to kick it. It was Lone Star. It didn't even last like three episodes.
Lone Star.
And if,
almost did that. There was only one man who would dare give me the raspberry.
Lone Star.
And also, we were talking about how a William Shatner show was a big controversy, and then it just kind of petered along, and then nobody...
Yeah, it got canceled, right?
Canceled.
It's gone already.
Yeah. So, my question to you guys is, what is the formula for keeping a successful television show?
Oh, my goodness.
What? You don't know?
Who knows?
Well, I mean, because...
The Vampire Diaries is still on, so clearly I don't know what's going on.
But is it important? Should we just keep the status quo going along from week to week to week to week? Or should we, like, change things up? Because, you know, shows have dramatic changes. There was a show, The Event, which was supposedly the next Lost. And it was a show, and it was all over the place. And then they went on hiatus, and they had dramatic changes to try and save the show, and it didn't go anywhere.
Well, the one problem is that you can't really claim that something is the next something until it actually comes out and attracts attention. Lost wasn't anything special until a lot of people decided that they really liked Lost, and Lost became a phenomenon.
Right.
So you can't just come up with a show and say, well, this is just like Lost. This is going to be a big hit. Tell everybody it's a big hit so that they'll watch it, even though it's not a big hit yet because no one's seen it. And then when no one watches it, your expectations are in the crapper. And you know, it gets canceled. It's almost inevitable. That's every time someone's like, "Oh, this is the next this generation's Citizen Kane."
I don't know if you guys remember, but on the
I remember, Mark.
On the movie with Dolph Lundgren of Masters of the Universe, the He-Man movie live action.
Which
on the
I've actually seen twice this week.
This week?
Yeah, you know, I was tired. I was in bed. The remote was all the way at the end.
You just couldn't reach it.
So many stories start with that scenario. Yeah. I was tired. I was in bed.
And the remote was too far away.
The remote was, you know, all the way at the end.
I was the Sex and the City 2 was on when I woke up, I think yesterday morning, and I just could not turn it off. And I was like,
So, guys,
on the cover box of the video cassette of Masters of the Universe, it said the Star Wars... The next Star Wars of the 90s or whatever it was. So,
you know, the Star Wars of the 90s turned out to be Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, you know, they said that about the Independence Day also. They said it was this generation's Star Wars.
Really?
It wasn't.
Independence Day?
Yeah, it was this generation's Star Wars.
I
remember that vividly because I was like, no, it's not.
I remember when Lost first came out, it was like
whatever
Gilligan's Island. They were talking about it as if it was like Gilligan's Island.
Yeah. Well,
so it went from Gilligan's Island to one of the quote greatest.
Yeah, because people learn really quickly to stop criticizing something when it becomes a powerhouse.
So too much promotion is a bad thing for a television show, then?
Promotion's never a bad thing.
No. So what are you trying to say about
it? It was the anticipation that it was going to be a giant hit, and then telling everybody this is going to be a giant hit. You have to catch it. You have to be there for it when everybody else catches it. It's like it's not a hit until I've seen it and like it. When I see it and I like it, and then I tell, you know, George to see it, and he likes it, he tells his wife, and she tells her friends, and everybody starts to see it, and they all like it, it becomes a hit. It's not a hit until we've seen it. If it comes out and someone says it's a hit before we've even seen the first episode, it's inevitable. It's going to be crap.
And it necessarily doesn't have to be good to be a hit.
Nope.
That's very
not at all.
No, because you
like
got...
Like Lost, for instance.
Well, you got those...
or Alias.
You got those dumb idiots...
Or Buffy.
That are on... Where are they? VH1, MTV? Where are the idiots?
The Jersey Shore?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, yeah, see?
The collective IQ of a sewer cap.
And as a matter of fact, the head of MTV just the other day was saying how he... is so grateful to the Jersey Shore because they revitalized MTV because they were in the dumps before that show came on the air, and that just brought them into the stratosphere.
So they're in lies.
Exploitationism. It works every time.
You have three girls, isn't that aren't Italian but are playing Guidettes.
I thought they were all Italian. I've never watched one episode of that show.
And then you got, well, because if you read the papers and you see little quotes that they said, like one of the idiot guys on there who said, I'm glad I'm in Italy because this is, I'd like to see the place where Michelangelo painted the Mona Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
At least you didn't call
him a Ninja Turtle.
Yeah,
you know,
but, you know, it's
come on.
Like, oh. Like so just, it's the same reason I didn't watch Growing Up Gotti. You know, you got everybody killing your race here, and it's like, oh, man. You know,
hey, don't talk to me, man. Ever since Tarzan, I've been watching them one at a time destroy the entire African-American community.
My whole theory is that... It doesn't have to be good to be a hit.
No.
So you used to work for ABC in a while.
Yes, I did, Mark.
Now, the promotions and marketing department, were you walking by? Did you ever hear anything about that?
I
don't know what you were actually doing. You know,
board
meeting because in the old days, as to what I understand, you know,
rock,
it used
right?
to be all together, and you can walk by.
Actually,
and
hear in the old days, there was a lot of promotion ABC, and I actually did walk by the promotion area because it was so great. What are the chances of that? Were you there and watching me walk by the promotion?
I was using my time travel.
Actually, back in the day, there were decent shows to promote, and there was a lot of creativity in creating the shows, especially the sitcoms. And you got to remember, when I was at ABC, there was no reality TV.
Right.
So there had to be creative ideas.
Right.
And for sitcoms,
really?
Which there were, yeah.
Man, how long
there
ago was
like
this?
Taxi and It's a Living, which was a funny
it's a
show.
Living.
It's a Living. That was a show that would not die.
Yeah.
Because it would just bounce from network to network.
And then it went into syndication called Making a Living.
Yeah.
But my point was, if you go up to the promo department, the extent they would promote this thing was phenomenal. And also, there was one room with all the posters of every show. They would send out posters of all these shows, new shows, to anybody who wrote in, to all their affiliates.
Wow.
And they were great posters. I remember I got a poster signed from Priscilla Presley and Those Amazing Animals. They had That's Incredible, and right after that, Those Amazing Animals.
Real People.
Yeah.
That was the other.
Yeah.
That was
so
like
those
the third
were
one.
The first like reality shows. Well, not the first. Canta Camera was the first.
That's
one.
Incredible. Used to creep me out because it used to always go to like these ghost towns.
Actually, it was Ripley's Believe It or Not. Only you know.
Yeah, except with the modernized.
Right. Exactly.
Chimps on the Davenport.
But promotion-wise and creativity-wise, those were the days. They went crazy.
So here's a little question I want to throw out to you guys. I don't know if you guys realize this, but the current trend of science fiction and fantasy shows is to have an hour-long production. In the old days, you can have a half-hour science fiction show. My Favorite Martian, The Talking Horse, Mr. Red.
Supercar.
Why do you have any idea why is it that we can no longer support a half an hour science fiction or a horror show?
It's money. It's not worth it to make a half hour show anymore. It's not worth it to go into a big production for a half hour. I think they could get away with it, but you're not going to get a sponsor that wants, you know.
Because I remember, Werewolf, Fox shows used to have tons of half-hour science fiction shows, and now it's only hours. I'm thinking, the last thing I can think of was Homeboys in Outer Space was a half-hour science fiction comedy. It had Scotty in it. Scotty was in it.
Yes.
He played
wonderful. He's dead now, isn't he?
Yes. Don't say it like that.
James Doohan is dead.
He was in the bar, and he was just the Scottish guy, and you know, it's just one of those things.
Moment of pride for
him. So it's not even a creative outlook. It's just coming from a monetary yeah. thing.
Ooh.
Wow, we actually have somebody else calling for free tickets. So, Trevor, you can tell them that they have to call in next week.
The first person to call next week.
Yeah, first person to call next week will give away more tickets next week.
Yes.
Yeah, next week. Wow, look at that.
This week, you get the big fat nothing.
Yeah.
You get the thanks for calling. Better luck next time.
Yeah, nice try, but next week, be the first.
So it's completely a monetary...
Listening to us at 9.
Yeah.
Maybe they're in a different time zone.
Yes.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes. They're in Upagoni, right?
Why not?
So we're big in Upagoni.
So it's strictly a monetary decision for that.
Anything's a monetary decision. Everything's a monetary decision.
Has to be kind of an event now, anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Be this big. You're not going to be able to make an event out of a half-hour show.
Yeah. Even Two and a Half Men, the opening show, is to be continued. So even that show is an hour.
I did not know that.
Two and a Crap Men.
Yeah,
I did not know that. But
yeah. I did not know that.
I just think it's a shame that the half-hour science fiction is a thing of the past. You know, Alf
science fiction basically is a thing of the past. What's the last science fiction show you've seen?
V.
And it's gone.
Well, yeah, but
so what's the last science fiction show you've seen that that's working
still on the air?
Yeah.
V for Vanity.
Name one for this year. This year. Yeah, exactly.
So you're saying that science fiction has moved from the television to
nobody
the movies?
Nobody wants television. Yeah, nobody wants to maintain a long-term commitment to a television show. Like, Lost was like the last thing. And they've tried to duplicate Lost a bunch of times. It hasn't worked because nobody really cares. Nobody wants to be locked into a show for 6.5 years. And have to keep watching episode after episode.
Well, right, and they try. Well, you talk about science fiction shows that are half hour. The recent ones that I know of are as far back as the 80s, were Tales from the Dark Side.
Yeah, yeah, good stuff like that.
Yeah,
he said the 80s. That was the key word. Yeah, the 80s.
Right.
Like a lot of.
And that's what I mean. The
this
last
is the 2000s.
The last one. And you had. Twilight Zone. What was the other one? Tales from the Dark Side.
It was
Tales from the Dark Side. Oh, yeah. Tales from the Crypt. Twilight Zone.
The one Steven Spielberg, Amazing Stories.
The Outer Limits.
Right.
The remake of The Outer Limits.
Yeah.
That's what you got, basically.
Yeah.
But what monsters.
Yeah. What I find interesting is that the trend now is that anything that is a half an hour. It's directly aimed for kids. I mean, there are a couple of shows out there.
They don't
think
it
Power
Rangers.
Kids.
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers is more phenomenal.
Keep mentioning Power Rangers.
Power Rangers is more phenomenal.
Yeah, anyway.
18 years. It's got to be doing something right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There are people in jail for 18 years. They didn't do anything right. So, you know, that's...
The lawyers did their job.
That's not
the
logical.
The cops did their job.
That is illogical.
Gumby is not in jail.
When he turned himself in,
yeah,
he's going to jail. Gumby's
going to the pokey.
He's.
Oh my God! Wait a minute.
I was waiting for the setup,
yeah,
and
I was waiting for it.
And then got that one.
I can see your face light up when I opened the door.
Thank you for that.
What's
in here?
Hey, that joke was terrible.
Well, thank you for that, Hassan. So I just think that it's an interesting that the only way you can get a good half an hour show is...
What is this with the half... Why are you on the half an hours? Who cares about half hours?
Because in the old days, it was a big deal.
No, it wasn't. I used to hate half hour shows when I was a kid. Alf was not science fiction. Alf was a sitcom.
It was an alien.
There's a big difference between it. If you tell a geek that you're going to watch a science fiction show and then you whip out Alf, he'll kill you. As geeky as he is, he'll murder you. It's a puppet in the middle of a set of a living room talking about eating cats.
It qualifies.
That's not science fiction. It's not science fiction.
He never did actually eat
the cat. It's not science fiction. It is over. That discussion is over.
I'm thinking that would be a great scene in a movie. Here, we're going to watch a great science fiction. Here, it's Alf. I'm going to kill you now.
I'm going to murder you.
That is not science fiction.
Science fiction is Star Trek. So where actual science is utilized in the fiction, hence science fiction.
So if he flew around in a ship, which he did, that wouldn't be science fiction? Would it not be science fiction?
He flew in a ship
twice.
In the beginning, Okay, twice. And the show was how many? How many years?
The show lasted a long time.
No,
and like they even made a reunion.
Movie. So they did twice in 4 years.
They made a reunion.
It's
movie
over.
That.
This conversation's over. Twice in 100 episodes.
The show was based on a family situation, not on science fiction situations.
Didn't take place in Melmac.
So you're saying Small Wonder was not a
Small Wonder was science fiction. There was science involved. The girl was a robot.
So the guy being an alien.
No, you're not. You're missing my point. Okay. In order to keep propelling the myth that this girl was a robot, they had to keep utilizing science in order to keep convincing us that the moron chick was actually a robot. Alf told really bad, stupid, crass jokes from the sofa while watching television. And then at the end, he got captured by Air Force and dissected.
He didn't get dissected, I'm telling you.
Yes, because
they had a reunion movie. Years later. He was not,
Of course you know about that. Whatever.
Why?
Whatever. I'll give you Power Rangers is science fiction. Science fantasy.
But thank you.
Mr. Ed.
We got it, yes.
There.
Mr. Ed was not science fiction.
A talking horse, not? All right.
No, it's not science fiction.
Okay. Uh-huh.
There's no science about a talking horse.
Maybe it was.
There's no science about a talking horse.
All right. So we got 2 minutes left. So, Hassan, do you have a final thought?
Yes. Mr. Ed's not science fiction. That's my final thought.
Charlie, do you have a final thought?
No.
Well, my final thought is that it was, what was it, Wilson Scott? No, Wilford. What was the guy's name?
Willard Scott.
I was still thinking of Wilford Brimley. Sorry about that, but it was Willard Scott.
He's the guy
who does
the diabetic code.
You're bad at this. You're our leader. You're bad at this.
Who does the happy birthdays, and he notifies the president via email who's turning 100, and that's how people know that they're 100. So,
and that's your final thought?
Yes, nicely done, Willard Scott. Thank you.
Also, congratulations, Marianne, for being our first Comic-Con winners.
Of this year. And next year, we're going to be... next week, we'll be giving away... Well, we're giving away next year also, but next week, we're giving away two more passes.
And the week after that.
And the week after that.
Yes.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio.
Does that
right
about
here.
Do
yes, it does.
Okay.
Turn us right here on WGBB. If you miss any part of the show, you can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com and you can listen to us on our archives. It should be up in a week or so. If you can't wait that long, and we know some of you can't, you can go on to places such as iTunes or Podcast Planet, and you can hear us there. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.